what's going to happen this weekend? And I've been very much looking forward to coming to take part with all of you in Japa Retreat. And I don't know what's going to happen. But I know some magic is going to happen. I've never... Just a few disclaimers. I've never done anything like this. Certainly not in a setting like this. But a few weekends ago, earlier this year, the 4th of July weekend, with Badahari, some magic happened. We had a festival of the Holy Name. It wasn't quite the setting. It was Chicago. But magic happened. And so I have an idea of some paths to go down, mainly just like a puppy dog falling behind Sachinandan Swami, because he's done this hundreds of times, and I thought it would just be wonderful to feel closer to Sachinandan Swami being in my first Japa retreat like this. So a lot of what's going to be presented are just ideas and contemplations, mainly coming from him, of course, expressed through this instrument rather than that one. And another, just in preparing for this, just share a thought, personal thought with you, as I shared in Uttama's home yesterday. Something with this gathering like this, I like where there's multiple personalities. The message is clear. The mix of personalities is diverse. And that's when I resonate much more with that. And the schedule has a lot of things that I'm presenting. So let's see how the flow goes. My preference would be a different, but let's see what happens. A beginning point is just to reflect on what we're doing, why we're here. What does it mean to be on retreat? The thoughts that I wanted to share very much fit with just the journey coming here. I was saying on the car ride on the way, I think I know now why I've never been to Sharanagati before. It's just so hard to get here.
It's worth the detour.
Huh?
It's worth the detour.
Okay. But the message of pilgrimage, the message of retreat, is like a pilgrimage. And when we go on a pilgrimage, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of the retreat? What's the purpose of the pilgrimage? We want to connect more deeply with something that is important to us. And the day-to-day life that we live pulls us away from that which is very important to us. So the pilgrimage is to connect with, just focus on that which is very important to us. And for us, that's Krishna in the form of the Holy Name. There's a reciprocal, a relationship phenomena that's happening in a retreat like this, Krishna has called us in one sense. We all got an invitation. Would you like to participate? And they contacted Uttama, who said, here's the deal. It's 2 full days and a half a day, and you come for the whole thing. And you immerse yourself, as far as drop-ins, This is for those who want to make that. He said, if people drop in, that's okay. But it's a commitment. Krishna has called, and we've answered a call to deepen our relationship with him. We want to deepen our relationship with Krishna. But Krishna has called us to deepen our relationship with him. And we said yes. So the magic is whatever that's going to be, whatever that deepening of our relationship with Krishna through his holy name. Somehow. And our experiences, like when you go on a pilgrimage, it's going to be different for each person, because our relationship, the stage of our relationship with Krishna, and particularly in the form of his holy name, is different for each one of us. So it's nice to be in a sharing mood. So I'm not used to having a flip chart. I'm used to gesturing like I have a flip chart. We'll put a word up here. Answering Krishna's call. Maybe someone that likes to put words on boards can put answering Krishna's call. Krishna gave us an invitation. Somebody's got good handwriting. Are you the good handwriter? Okay, thank you. Let's put 3 words for starters. Relationship. Receiving. A very important part of our being at a japa retreat is in the mood of receiving. Krishna gave an invitation. The representatives of Krishna, the servants of Krishna, gave an invitation. Just like I received an invitation, would you like to? And I thought about it, and I said yes. Part of it was, certainly a big part of it was to reciprocate with those who were asking. But it's also service to Prabhupada's mission to gather the devotees together around the holy name. But ultimately, it's relationship with Krishna. And you get an invitation from Krishna that says, you want to get closer to me? And the answer is yes. So our participation, on one hand, just like a pilgrimage, another word is seeking. We're seeking something. We're seeking, each person can describe. Part of the reason for passing out a little notebook is we'll do an exercise at the end of this morning, just before breakfast, where you can write down this, for your own purpose, but what you're seeking. We did this in Ojai. One of the first things that we did the evening before we got settled was, what's your expectation? Why did you come here? What are you hoping to get from this experience? So we're seeking something in our relationship with Krishna, and we want to receive something. Part of it, the first step is we received his invitation and said yes, but the ongoing mood should be very receptive to indications that come from Krishna. We'll spend time chanting japa together after some discussions, some exercises, and Krishna's in the center, and we're receiving, and we're seeking. That's relationship. It's Prabhupada, one of the themes of My Krishna Conscious Life is Prabhupada's statement that our Krishna consciousness movement is based on love and trust, give and take. In any relationship, sometimes you're on the giving end, sometimes on the receiving end. And why do we want to enter into a relationship where we're giving something and receiving something? Because there's some love and trust. That's the fabric. And then there's some giving and there's some receiving. So we're seeking something from the experience of chanting Krishna's holy name in a deeper way. And we'll be receiving something. Then where's Amritananda?
Huh?
On the way. Did he give the printouts to somebody?
Yeah, the printouts, the schedule and the commitment.
And where is that? You have it.
Oh,
okay.
Sure.
Yeah. The next one is commitment. We all have the experience, I'm sure, where somebody, a devotee or somebody somewhere that we crossed paths with and had some meaningful relationship with, in course of time and circumstance, all of that fades, and then we get this sense, I want to connect again with that person, with that devotee, with that individual. And so we carve out some time to go and spend time, quality time with that person. And do something together or share something or even go somehow make the connection. So it's the commitment to do it. And the commitment to the person, what does it do to the relationship? It renews the relationship, it strengthens the relationship. The bonding becomes, my experience is the bonding becomes even greater than before. When it's a genuine from the heart kind of commitment. So, this little piece of paper that's being passed out on commitment. It's not from one of our Vaishnava acharyas, but the message certainly conforms with everything that we teach. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy. The chance to draw back. Always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help. One that would never otherwise occur, have occurred. The whole scheme of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents, meetings, and material assistance, which no man could have dreamed would have come his way. Whatever you can do, or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. Of course, this is, the reference is often of projects or getting something done, and relationships don't always have that at the center, although together two individuals or a number of individuals may get something done. In our case, we're not trying to build a temple or get a project done, help Yadavar finish his roll up our sleeves and go down there and help him, whatever. So it's not that kind of splendid idea, but this the splendid idea of deepening our relationship with Krishna, and it takes commitment. I've had my tests already this morning. It's not like withdrawal symptoms or something, but I don't have internet and I can't go online and I can't answer. I'm thinking, when I leave here, I'm going to have probably around 300 emails to respond to, and I'm going to be buried. So some of that may be category of urgent, or someone's depending upon me to help them with something or other, and it's just part of, it's become too much a part of my life. It's just the treadmill. And so I was struggling this morning, just pulling my mind back from the treadmill and thinking, no, I made this commitment. And Krishna will help me. Won't you, Krishna? Because my purpose is to get closer to you. And you invited me here. And so, commitment to a relationship. Certainly, we have the experience, it started with this point, we have the experience in relationships with others. And it's very meaningful, very rewarding, very satisfying, very enriching to consciously make a commitment to a relationship with a person that we hold very dear to us or is very important in our life or in our service. All the more so our commitment to our relationship with Krishna. And that's what a japa retreat is. Just starting with a definition of what are we doing here. And commitment requires follow through. It's not just now, okay, we come, we make some commitment to Krishna, and then it's see you later, Krishna. It's an ongoing commitment. Just to help us with that. With retreats in general, I spend some time contemplating the topic, retreats, and there's some basic components that make up retreats, like what we do. One of the ideas of retreat, like, you know, when you think of a retreat center, if you wanted to go somewhere and find a retreat center, you don't go in some hubbub place. It's more secluded, where it's away from the routines of life, just as I was describing. My mental makeup is the routine, and this is not the routine. I've got to let my mind get used to not the routine and withdraw it from just patterns of behavior and thought and looking for some change in doing that, looking for some improvement. Sometimes one of the retreat centers that I went to, one of the Japa retreats, they have their various cabins, and then they have another place where it's silent. So we'll try to observe this, we'll request you to observe this. In the mornings, actually we're only going to have two more mornings. So tomorrow is our Mona day, where we'll take a look at the schedule and we'll tell you that we'll have Japa. It's very nice if we can have Japa here, as if it suits your, you know, this little spread out place, which may be a little different, but those that want to come and chant together, that's nice. Chant here, but it's try to observe Mona, Vrata. See, the idea, and during the course of the day, tomorrow, we'll have two levels. We did some polling of what people want to do. And tomorrow is 64 round day. And for those that don't want to do 64 rounds, it's 32 round day. And those that don't want to do 32 rounds a day, I probably are somewhere else. So those that want to go for 32 rounds, we'll maintain Mona and we'll have lunch prasadam and then go to Kalakanta's house and we'll have some further discussions on chanting of the holy name. But try to honor silence. This idea of retreat being a place of solitude is to connect more deeply within with things that, because of our busy lives, we're not paying attention to, we're not nourishing. So to nourish those deeper, meaningful values of life that we have, like our relationship with Krishna, and give attention to it. So it's solitude and Mona is a part of, a feature of a retreat. A second feature is we have a wide range of participants here. Some persons are very new to Krishna consciousness. Some persons are somewhere in between. Some persons are very, very senior in Krishna consciousness. But a mood of a retreat, so the heading on the schedule is entering into the mood of the retreat. A mood of a retreat is, we're beginners. We have some relationship with Krishna. We have some experience chanting. But the mood should be like clean slate. Very humble mood of approaching the process in a refreshed and renewed way, like the newness of a beginner. And add this to the receiving mood and you got the, it's the right combination. We're coming before Krishna, certainly very, very elevated Vaishnavas like Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, already highly elevated, came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as fools. I don't even know who I am. Can you please tell me who I am? What is my duty of life? What should I be doing? So, in that mood, so we can receive as much as Krishna wants to give us. We'd say the opposite, what not to do is to not be in a doer's mentality. I'm going to get it done, I'm going to go deeper into the holy name, and look out, here I come. Be in a receiving and a learning and a growing mood. That's best for a retreat. Another point is, where's our prop? the box?
Yeah, that
box. Uh-huh. Got a little surprise. Okay. Something like spring, the spring season, where oh, here comes the caravan from the yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming from the wrong direction. I can't imagine so many cars just coming along this country road for some other purpose. Okay. Okay, focus, focus over here. Springtime, just like fall, winter, springtime. Retreat should be like springtime. Like a bringing about transformation. We're in some space. We've come to this stage of our Krishna conscious lives and we're in some space and we'd like to grow. We'd like to transform. So for that to happen, there has to be a shedding of something, a letting go of something that's holding us back, and as a result, growing. So one of the classic emblems of that is the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. So the caterpillar enters into some cocoon thing, and there's this gestation period, and everything grows. Now, I've not studied the science of this, but what I understand the scientists say is that literally cells die in that cocoon, and there's, Prabhupada speaks something like this, the contemplating of the caterpillar. I wish I could fly, I wish I could fly, I wish I could fly. So they call it something like an imagination cell, and that effectively generates other cells and a whole other entity comes out of the cocoon because of the desire for something new, but the desire for something new means there has to be a shedding of something old, shedding of something previous. So in even more graphic terms, it's preparing to die, but not like, you know, the worldly kind of dying, but a spiritual kind where habits, tendencies, traits, patterns, we leave them and they die and they don't come back again to life. They just, we go through the retreat preparing for that experience, that metamorphosis. So I got this idea that I would have three props, because I've learned something about myself. I've become a little bit tuned into visual things. So I've got a visual one. So this is one of our mascots for the retreat. To become like the butterfly. But to become like the butterfly with beautiful wings. It even has a nice necklace on. We have to let go of something. So from time to time, I'm going to just hold up the butterfly and it will say a message. It's just to remind all of us, myself included, what we've come here for. And to achieve what we'd like to come here for, it's, we have to let go of something and become this wonderful pure chanter, offenseless chanter, deeply absorbed in the holy name, devotee, ready to become like this. I'll share something. There's just I'm going to refer several times back to this festival of Lahomini because it was a very powerful experience. There's one fellow that came from St. Louis. He had never had association with devotees before. And he came up to me afterwards and said, "My name is so-and-so," and shook my hand. And said, like, you know, a very social person, very outgoing person, said, "This is the 4th of July weekend, and a bunch of my friends invited me to go to the beach. But then my friend Mao, he said, 'Why don't you come to the festival of the holy name?'" I said, "Well, I've never experienced that before." "Sure, I'll go to the festival of the holy name." It was curiosity. It wasn't, "I want to achieve something. I want to have some fun." I was just exploring. He had never chanted before. And by the end of the retreat, he chanted 26 rounds. Never had his hands on beads before, but the whole atmosphere was so transforming that he just got carried away. And he said, I asked him, "What was your experience like?" He said, "The first thing when I got here was I never saw a group of people so loving. And so it was everywhere. It was just thick. And, you know, everybody's doing the same thing. You know, they're just chanting." One of the neighbors passed by because we had this, we're in a suburban scene with, you know, 3 acres instead of 1,500 acres. Land. And so as to not disturb the neighbors, we had a rule that we wouldn't leave the property. Because we did last year, we left the property and they, you know, there was people chanting and it was disturbing their dogs that were barking. So we just stayed on the property. And one lady came by while Pritu Shrava was chanting along the roadway on our property. And she smiled. He said, "Well, I learned the words to your songs already." Meaning it's just 3 words. What are you guys doing? So the same fellow that came with not any real big expectation. Then I asked him, what was your experience chanting? And he said, "I never experienced anything like this whole weekend before." So it was so uplifting, so light, and I don't even know what it is. I just felt some feelings I've never felt before. So maybe we'll have some feelings that we've never had before that are indicative of that deep relationship with Krishna that we're hankering for, but somehow we're out of touch with, and through the association of other devotees who are with us, we can help be an inspiration for that to happen. There was another experience that went the opposite direction. After the, I got a letter from somebody who attended that weekend, and they were describing what their experience during the weekend was. And the experience was that normally when they chant, it's a struggle. They know they should chant. They know it's good for them. They're doing it. But it's a struggle. And it's always been a struggle. But for somehow or another, it just happened. Magic happened. There wasn't a struggle at all. In fact, there was joy and great happiness and great ease. And then when they went back, their experience was the chanting was also, they just wanted to keep chanting. They weren't just one, you know, counting, getting the rounds done. They wanted to keep chanting. But then there was this other feeling that started to happen, which was this deep sadness. And they couldn't understand this sadness, along with being very attractive. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. I better write to Maharaj and find out what I'm doing wrong, because there's this deep sadness. But then instead of avoiding the sadness, they looked at the sadness and followed where that sadness was coming from, and found that I'm very materialistic in my relationship with other devotees. That's where that sadness is coming from. They just had this very strong realization through the mercy of the holy name. So now, they said, I want to make this deeper commitment to my relationship with the other devotees. But I definitely don't want to lose this eagerness to chant the holy name, because that's going to help me do it. Because otherwise, I wouldn't even know what I'm doing. So, where getting closer and deeper with the holy name is going to go, who knows? But it's a wonderful place, whatever it is. It's where we want to go. And there may be different stages that we have to go through to get there. And that's fine, as long as we get there. Because it's the essence of our life. And it's one of the important components of our retreat. So the theme again, we're just put our bullet points. Another page. Solitude, meaning internal and external, external meaning just get away from the routine of ordinary life and go inward. That's a retreat. Another is, second point is the beginner's mood, where you're receiving from Krishna and committing to Krishna without with a readiness that Krishna can take it anywhere he wants to go. So we're very open, like a beginner. Third point, just put it in a few words, readiness for symbolic death. Parentheses, butterfly. And this is Satchinandan Swami's phrase, but entering into borderline space, like it's something very similar. We have our comfort zone, and we feel comfortable when things are in place and things go the way that we like it to go. And in a retreat, it's deliberate. You go outside of your comfort zone and you want to experience something that's not just your comfort zone, like a more comfortable comfort zone. There's other places besides a retreat or parts of our life that are like that. So, an example I already gave, but if some feelings come that like when we were in Ojai, Mother Rasigya was with us in Ojai, and she was really excited to take part in the retreat. When we did what was your experience like? She said it was just sadness, like She couldn't believe. And just went on and got deeper and deeper. And she was lamenting over all, while she was chanting, all the misdeeds she had done and ways that she had hurt people, and just kept coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and sadder and sadder. She was crying and crying. And then it was just helplessness. And the helplessness stayed for some time. It wasn't like Krishna came and picked her up when her, and Garuda carrier and carried her away. It was, just dependency. And then when something happened, as best I can recall, she described, she just, like Draupadi, let go of the other hand and just, Krishna, take me! All of a sudden, it was magical. She just got lifted and felt she was in Krishna's hands and safe. And different, so it's not like the next time one does something like a retreat, it's going to be the same experience. Each experience is going to be very different, and it's a journey where you go into a new territory and you're ready to explore that new territory out of the comfort zone of where the mind likes to be and what the body likes to be. There's a great atmosphere for that. I feel completely disoriented. And that's good for purposes of a retreat. With this borderline space thing, or this other word is liminal space, there's a thing where we have our conceptions of what Krishna consciousness is, and then we have our, whatever you want to call it, like, our consciousness is less than that. Our moment-to-moment, day-to-day experience is less than that. Our realizations of what Krishna consciousness is. There's a gap between what we know and what we are. Purpose of a retreat is to close that gap, and part of the closing of the gap is get out of the comfort zone and go into that space. And bring the holy name, or the holy name is inviting you to go with him into that space and bridge the gap where you become more of what you know Krishna consciousness is. So don't be afraid. Go into that space. And a fifth item is sharing. We're sojourners. You know, the Sharanagati folks, you know each other. Seattle folks, you know each other. And there's some other people from other places that don't know anybody. But we're all here for a similar purpose. We're sojourners together. We're on the bus. The old timers know what that means. Kent Kesey phrase. But, you know, we're having a journey together. And it will enhance our journey together if there's openness and sharing what our experiences are. So, drop those as far as you can. It's a recommendation during the retreat so that your fellow retreaters share together openly what your experiences are. We'll have some opportunities for that. Please come right into the center of the circle. We save the best seats for you. Don't hang out on the edge. Come right into the middle. I'm just going to continue while everybody gets situated here. Congratulations, you found the place. Now, the writing is finished. Yeah. It's just for those of you that are... Oh, wait till everybody gets situated. I do a quick review, but... In Padma Purana, there's this wonderful verse that practically must be referred to when speaking about the Holy Name. Namachin Tamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Punashadha Nitya Mukta Vinapram Nama Namina. Something you'll talk about another book. That, if I'm not mistaken, we'll be discussing in Seattle over the Thanksgiving weekend. Harinamachin Tamani. Yes? So, the Holy Name is a touchstone. And touchstones transform something ordinary into something extraordinary, like base metal into gold. You know, Sanatana Goswami had a touchstone. And he kept the touchstone in the rubbish pile. One man came saying, "Oh, sadhu, give some charity to this poor beggar." And I had the touchstone. It's in the rubbish pile. We got the touchstone, tried it out, and sure enough it worked. But then, you know the story, he considered, why does Sanatana Goswami have the touchstone in the rubbish pile? The inference is there's something more valuable that's not in the rubbish pile. What's that something more valuable? Well, to get that something more valuable, I'll gladly give it to you, but you have to throw away the touchstone, throw it in the river. You can't get it back anymore once it's in the river. So he threw away the touchstone. And Sanatana Goswami gave him Nama Chintamani, the touchstone of the Holy Name. The touchstone of the Holy Name acts in a transforming way in many ways. One of them is, just like that little description I gave you of what Mother Rasagya, the journey that Krishna in the form of the Holy Name took Mother Rasagya on, was all the mud and unpleasantness of past mistakes was shown before her in a strong way. And once it started, it didn't stop. It kept coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. And she was horrified. So another is a story from the previous Japa retreat, or one of the recent Japa retreats that was held upstate New York. When was that? In April? Yeah. May? 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 You probably heard this. Maybe I heard it incorrectly, but there were two parts. There was a, you know, level one, level two Japa retreat. And on 24-round day, there was Mona. So one devotee went off by a lake, just like there's a lake here. And while he was chanting by the lake alone, Mona, he was thinking, there's lots of bears in this area, and I'm all alone. And if I sit here and just chant all alone and a bear sees me, what am I going to do? And that that thought wouldn't leave his mind. And he tried to get rid of the thought from his mind. He said, no, this guy got to be chanting the holy name, just taking shelter of Krishna's holy name. And then, but it wouldn't stop. It started, you know, he started thinking, well, what if the bear did come? What would I do? And he made a little, his mind was making an escape plan. Maybe I should go into the lake. But bears can swim. Maybe I should. He was processing and processing and processing, and then all of a sudden the thought left. So then he was able to chant with attention. And it wasn't until the evening, because they were observing Mona, that another devotee who was across the lake shared with him, I saw a bear. While we were chanting there alone, the bear was approaching. It's a little cub bear. But where there's a little cub, there's a little mama bear, and if there's a little mama bear thinks the cub bear is in difficulty, you're in big trouble. But I didn't know what to do because it was Mona. I thought, well, if the bear really starts to get right next to him and raises his claws, then I'll have to do something. But I didn't say anything. But you know, at a certain point, the bear just went away. So the realization that was being shared from that experience was that what you meditate upon while chanting has, the holy name is very powerful. It can make objects appear and disappear, and make thoughts appear and disappear, and make things happen. I'll give another story that's just on the opposite side. Last year, at the 4th of July, was the first time we tried this experiment of the Japa retreat. Was so we had it in April in Ojai. It was so meaningful. I said, I want to do more of this. So I invited him. He came to Chicago. We did a different than a Japa retreat. It was a festival of the holy name. And it was in the audience, there was one small boy who was 5 years old. And he heard us speaking about chanting 32 rounds. And he was so excited, he was wound up, that on, it was Saturday night, we had wonderful kirtan, Badahari scale, wonderful kirtan, and then we had prasadam and the family got home and the little boy took rest at 11:30. And he was up at 1:30, chanting japa. Because what he wanted to do was, he was so excited, he wanted to have half of his 32 rounds done before Mangal Arati, so he could chant the other half after Mangal Arati. And he woke his parents up at 5 o'clock in the morning and said, we got to go to Mangal Arati, it's at 5:30, hurry up. He said, well, we took rest at 12 o'clock at night. It's 5 o'clock. What are you doing? I've chanted half my rounds and I want to get to Mangal Arati so I can chant the other half. And he chanted the other half. And, you know, as soon as he finished the other half, he was asleep in his mother's lap. But he chanted 32 rounds. And I saw him again this year. And he was the same excited little boy. It didn't fade. He's, you know, he chanted 32 rounds at 6 years old. Just from that, and I asked him specifically, was your experience the same? He said, it was very different. But I felt very close to Krishna, 6 year old boy. So, the holy name is a touchstone. And if we take up the activity of the retreat properly, we'll experience it, and it'll be different. Each person, each round, each thing that we go through. But it's transforming. It transforms material to spiritual, takes us to Krishna, because the holy name is Krishna. So it's important that we, where's the other?
in the last one.
Oh, yeah. Krishna is like the sun. And one of the things that we want to do when we chant the holy name of Krishna is really focus the mind on Krishna. When we really focus the mind on Krishna, the nija sarva shaktis, all the spiritual potencies of Krishna can be experienced by us. So, there's a Sanskrit phrase called sankalpa, which means something like expectation. When you perform something, there's an expectation. Generally, our expectations are material. We're expecting the fruits of our activity and to be the enjoyer of the fruits of our activity. The doership mentality. So different than a doership mentality, the receiving of Krishna's mercy, this sun of Krishna's mercy, and it helps us to have a very clear sankalpa or expectation. One of the things that we're going to do is have you write a sankalpa this morning before we have breakfast. But how it works is like a magnifying glass. Many of you, I know, I've played with magnifying glasses and how you take the light of the sun and you shine it, and it goes into a fine point, so hot, it burns. Although it's just the light of the sun. But through the lens of the magnifying glass, it makes fire. There's fire, here's warmth, and there's fire. So if the mind is fixed in a proper way, we're receiving Krishna, passing that merciful invitation that Krishna has given to us to come closer to Him through a very meaningful, personal, and deep sankalpa. And we stay with that. It acts like a magnifying glass to focus the mind on entering more deeply into our relationship with people. So here's another one of our props. Make the point again. Same point, but expressed a little differently. There's this apparent contradiction thing, or what's the word?
Paradox.
Yes, thanks. The paradox, where we have an expectation, but it's not fruitive. So, Prabhupada has taught us we don't make desire zero, that's not possible. The soul has desire. So the desire in relation to Krishna, that's a desire, that's a spiritual desire. That's pure. So, sankalpa is for that purpose. To help us open our hearts to receive. So the way to approach the sankalpa is not, I'm going to do it, this is my objective, and I'm going to get it done. Because that's how I do things, I get things done. But it's a receiving kind of focusing of the mind on the chanting of the holy name. And that focus will help to bring about the transformation that we want. The going into a different or a deeper experience with Krishna in the company of so many wonderful devotees. So I think what we'll do is we'll take 5 minutes or 10 minutes. This is now go inward. You may already have an idea of what is it that you would wish from this experience to take home with you and carry with you in your day-to-day chanting when you go back to your routine of life. What is that expectation that you would like from this experience, of this japa retreat? So take some time, reflect, and write into this nice little notebook that you've got. And we'll do some sharing at the end.